This, and then the emphasis tonight will be on the testimonies. But in John chapter 9, I love this story. This is a great story, again, about this man that was born blind, and the Lord heals him. And then, boy, there's just like a whole big ruckus takes place afterward. You know, there's just a lot of talk going around the town, and which is probably maybe the case that took place in your life after you got saved, right? Man, how many of you were the first one that got saved in your household? Okay, let me just ask that. Okay, there's a number of you. I was the first one. I didn't create a ruckus, but I know there was some small talk going on, like, what's happened to Reuben? And I remember, you know, kind of hearing it from my sister, because my younger sister, Lori, who was here with her husband, Bill, you know, just from some of the things, they were thinking that this was just a fad, you know? It was just going to pass away, a little phase. Well, a little bit more than a fad. It's been, you know, many, many years, over 45 years that I've known the Lord. And so it hasn't gone away, praise the Lord. It's as exciting today as it was back in the day when I got saved. And so maybe there was a little bit of some commotion that took place around your salvation. Well, it certainly did take place here with this man who was born blind. So we take a look here in John chapter 9. And I'll just go through this quickly because, again, maybe I'll 10, 12 minutes here. But just this story here in verse 1 of John chapter 9, it says, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin?" So they're making this assumption here about, okay, well, this man's born blind, so somebody had to have sinned. His mother, his father, was it his parents? Was it this guy's fault? Well, it could hardly be this guy's fault, right? He was a little tiny baby. But it says here, "Who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And Jesus answered, "Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." And when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you tonight. Thank you that we're able to gather together and fellowship as we've been able to do. And we thank you that we can sing these hymns that we've been able to sing unto you. And we thank you, Lord, that we can open up the Word of God. Thank you for giving us a perfect book. What a blessed book it is as it speaks to our hearts. And Lord, may we hide it in our hearts and may we read it every day. And Lord, we thank you for tonight that is a testimony night, and we're looking forward to hearing some testimonies, some salvation testimonies tonight, and may you put your hand upon it. And so we ask your blessing upon this night. May the Lord Jesus Christ be glorified. In his wonderful name we pray. Amen. So you see this man gets healed, all right? The Lord tells him to go and wash in the pool of Siloam, and now the man actually, in this instance, okay, many times when somebody was healed by the Lord, they put their trust in the Lord and their sins were forgiven and they were saved. Well, it doesn't appear that this man got saved until verse 38, okay? That's when he comes back around and runs into the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's when he puts his faith and trust in Christ. But you know what? In this healing is a great picture of salvation, Amen. A wonderful picture of salvation. And I love the way, you know, the Lord does it every time. This man goes to the pool of Siloam, he washes, he does what the Lord tells him to do, and he comes seeing, and there's that great picture, because later on he says, "One thing I know, I was blind, but now I see." Amen. Can't we all say that, those of us that know Christ as Savior? Yeah, we can say that because we know what happened in our lives when we got saved. We were blind. Man, we were on our way to hell, and now we got saved, and we're on our way to heaven. What a wonderful testimony that is just right there. But I just love the way that different individuals in the Bible came to know the Lord. You think about, who was it that got saved up in a tree? Oh, Zacchaeus got saved, all right, up in that tree, and the Lord calls him down. And then you think about that man where they couldn't get him into the house in Capernaum because it was so filled up. So they were trying to figure out a plan B. Remember what their plan B was? Right through the roof, right? I'm wondering how the homeowner felt about that one, right? Hey, but it turned out great because that man got healed and then he got saved. His sins were forgiven. And it's a wonderful thing. And you know, as I mentioned before, salvation testimonies are like, they're like fingerprints. They're all so different and they're so unique, like a snowflake. None of them are the same, and I just love to hear every one of them. And praise the Lord. This guy had quite a testimony of what the Lord did in his life, and so he's healed by the Lord. And then a bunch of people start talking and yakking, and there's, talk about, well, gee, that, they're looking at old Jimbo there, and it's like, hey, that guy looks like Jimbo. But Jimbo's blind. This guy's walking around, you know, and is it him? I think it's him. I'm pretty sure it's him. Well, I'm not sure. He looks like him, and I like what it says there, and you get to verse 8, the neighbors therefore, and they which went, which before had seen him that was blind said, is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, this is he, and others said, well, he is like him. He looks like him, but I don't know that that's him. But he said, I am he. Some of you are like, his name is Jimbo? No, it's not actually in the Bible. I named him, okay. And it says here in verse 10, therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes open? And he answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and I received sight. So the word got around about, is this the man? And he finally says, no, I am the man. I am he, as he says there in verse 9. And then, people inquire. That's just a part of how things play out. But then there's always somebody that the devil sends along, and the Pharisees come along, and, you know, they didn't like anything that was connected to the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that. And so they're questioning this man. Well, this was done on the Sabbath, and all of the, everything that they have, well, how did this man, what happened? Who was this man? And so they begin to start questioning, and verse 15 says, then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. And they say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him, that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, well, he's a prophet. Obviously, he's got to be a prophet. He says it very, very clearly, very emphatically. In verse 18, but the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. So now they're not getting what they want from this guy. They don't like his answers. Well, let's go to his parents and let's ask the parents about him. And the parents were a bit fearful because they know that if anybody were to follow the Lord Jesus, they would be kicked out of the synagogue. So they were a little leery about answering their questions. It says in verse 19, and they asked them, saying, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then doth he now see? And his parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes? We know not. He is of age. Ask him. He shall speak for himself. And these words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, he is of age, ask him. And so then we go into another round where the Pharisees go back to the man, and then they kind of just drill him again. And they throw all these questions at him. And I like this man. This man is like, I'm getting tired of this. You can just see a little bit of an attitude, which I like it. He must have been a Baptist, right? All right, so it says here in verse 24, it says, then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner, and they're talking about the Lord Jesus. He answered and said, well, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. I don't really know anything about this man. I know he healed me, but he says, one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Amen. He said, I don't know anything really about him. You're saying he's a sinner. I really don't know. I can't really debate that or argue with you in regard to that. But one thing I know is I was blind and now I can see. Doesn't that make a statement right there? I mean, just in those words. Then said they to him again, well, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already. Can you see his attitude kind of? It's kind of spiking up in a good way. He's like, I've already told you guys. Aren't you guys listening? And ye did, excuse me, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple. We know that God spake unto Moses, as for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. And the man answered and said unto them, why, herein is a marvelous thing. There's this marvelous thing that's taken place, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. Okay, and they were just like fed up with this fella. They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins. Well, they went where, remember, the disciples were questioning the Lord. Was this man born in sin? Or was it his parents' fault? These men were already just judged. They were just totally judgmental. You can see the attitude of the Pharisees and why the Lord denounced them so many times over and over. They said, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. And then I love that in time, probably shortly, the Lord Jesus comes back around and bumps into this fellow again. And Jesus, it says in verse 35, heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. And I believe right there, that's looks like when he got saved, when he put his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine this man's testimony over time? Can you imagine how he spoke about that little walk down to the pool of Siloam and how the Lord had healed him, and then the back and forth that he had with the Pharisees, and I'm sure that this story got brought up many times with his testimony. And what a blessing just to think one day we'll run into this fella. We'll know his name. We'll bump into him in heaven. You mean you're the fella in John chapter 9? Oh, tell me a little bit more. Don't you think we might ask him that? Yeah, don't you? I mean, I will. Some of you guys obviously don't. Okay, but yes, we will. You know you will. You know, there are many, many Bible characters that we're going to look at. And oh, man, I loved reading about what the Lord did in your life. And what happened, tell me a little bit more, because there's got to be some more details. I'm sure that that's going to take place. And what a blessing it is when we get an opportunity to tell folks, to tell others. Sometimes it's maybe telling a lost person about how we got saved. But what a blessing it is to be in a church service and to be able to come up and tell other folks, other brothers and sisters in Christ, about how we came to know the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did in our lives. Amen. Well, I'm excited. You know, again, Brother Bruce Rubley, what a blessing he is. And I asked him a few weeks back. We had gone out for some lunch over to DQ. We had a great time together. I asked him about giving his testimony sometime. He says, I would love to. And so I'm looking forward to that. And Phyllis and Milt, of course, many of you didn't have an opportunity to meet Brother Milt. What a blessing that that he was and was in my life. What a blessing. Phyllis, you and him, thank you for being such like spiritual parents to me so many times. And so I asked Phyllis a little ways back, a few weeks ago, and she said, I'd love to. And, you know, this morning she wasn't feeling 100%, and I'm so glad that you're here. You know, you're a real trooper, and I appreciate you, and I'm excited that you're going to tell us about what the Lord did in your life and how you got saved. And so I'm going to have Phyllis come on up right now. I've got a chair up here for you. I think we might need a microphone, maybe a microphone stand. Oh, just the right here. Oh, you're talking about
on the left side of the pole, on the podium.
Oh, right here. Okay. We might get a stand. Yeah, let's get a stand. Thank you.
Yeah, I've been thinking about this for ever since Pastor asked me if I wanted to give my testimony. I am thankful that I can give it, and I want to glorify the Lord, not me. I'll start out from 3 years of age. I don't know, I cannot remember, that I think my mother and my sister took me to Sunday school, but I don't remember that part of it. But when I was three, I fell out of the upstairs window on the second story. So I hit the ground. I was conscious. The Lord flipped me. I say the Lord because it's only by His grace. And there was a sidewalk, I think, below. And that bounced me out. And I landed on my feet, on my foot. And, of course, my sister was 18 years older than me. And she heard it, and she screamed, "Phyllis." She knew because I climbed around on things. Now I'm scared to death of heights. But anyway, when she came out, I said, "Jesus, save me." Now, I don't know if I heard about Jesus, but I know I wasn't saved then. But that is what I, as a three-year-old, and can you hear me good? Okay. And it's so important to we have these, Awana, that is so nice, 3 years old, because you do not know what certain ones are listening to. And so evidently I heard about Jesus. And so then I was about just before school age, they had the, my folks had the Jehovah's Witnesses in. Later on, when my mother became saved, she was so ashamed. But I remember them saying, "When you're dead, you're dead." And as a child, even before school, I thought, I cannot reconcile myself as a child, even then, that when you're dead, that there's not something afterwards. And so I was raised in an unsaved family, and so I don't remember really us going to church. And then when we were 9 years old, we moved from Iowa to, I'll try to keep this brief, because there are so many things that went on in my 93 years. But anyway, we moved from Iowa, and I was nine, and then I turned 10. And the school that I went to, there was a girl that I became friends with, and she was saved. So she was concerned about me, and I went to Sunday school with her. And my folks, that was fine with them. And when I was 12, this is when I became saved, there was an evangelist at the Baptist church, and I went forward and accepted Christ. But as I went into my teens, and not having a saved family, the first thing I wanted my family to be saved. And that's what should be in our heart, you know. And so, anyway, through my high school years, I wanted to be popular and, you know, be like the other kids. But I wasn't popular. And so I really didn't give much thought to the Lord other than I was convicted of things that I didn't do, but there's probably some things that were just as sinful that the Lord was looking on my heart to do. And so I went away to Bible school, and that was the worst 9 months of my life because I had to work. I only could go a half a day. I wasn't able to make friends and everything. And so I came home, and I met my husband, Milt, and we were engaged in a month. 6 months we were married, and it's hard to give my testimony that has not been so intertwined between 68 years of marriage. And Milton had a job, and this is concerning me too. And we had a family right away, and so I was home taking care of the children, and he was in a job. And about age 30, well, we had talked and said that we wanted to be more than just saved. We wanted to serve the Lord. But in our life, then a job came in, and then at age 30, the job he was in made more compromises. You know, it was going to be more. And so we decided that we were just going to go out. We didn't go out with the church. We didn't do anything like that. But we went, got out from family, from everyone. And that was my learning time. I stayed home with the stuff, with the children, because Deb and her brother and a little boy, another brother. And Milton did most of the witnessing and everything. And so at age 30, we really started serving the Lord. And it's just so overwhelming of the things that the Lord has done in my life. And I failed him so miserably at times. And I'm forgetting my notes, but I was going to give you this when I started out. And stop me, because I'm wordy. And the saying says, sometimes you need to learn to be quiet even when you have a lot to say. So over all these years I have. But I'm so thankful to the Lord, because we learned, and something that I learned, that we can have that personal relationship with the Lord. And yet at times when I get out of thinking, I mean, I'm thinking of myself and not letting the Lord speak to me, then we lose our joy. And I can't express how much the Lord has worked in my life. And I just want to serve him. And also, many times that I was like Romans 7, the thing that I would do that I do not. And the Lord would always show me or bring me back to Romans 7:24 and 25. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. And so no matter how old you get, Satan, we make bad choices ourselves in not listening to the Lord, but Satan will take advantage of that. So no matter how old you get, Satan's going to be there, and he's going to take opportunity in your life to draw you away so that you lose that joy you have. And that's just what I want to say, that the Lord takes me home, I want to be a shining light. And I have a verse here in Isaiah 46:4 that I'd like to read. It's more for we older people, but and it's 46:4. And even to your old age I am he, and even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made, and I will bear, even I will carry and deliver you.
Thank you. one, 406. I think it's 406.
Some through the water, some through the flesh.
That's 406. All right, if you stand with me again, we'll sing number. Do you want to sing all four, or do you want to sing three of them?
Let's sing.
We'll sing the first, second, and fourth. In shady green pastures, so rich and so sweet, God leads his dear children along. Where the waters cool flow, bathe the weary one's feet, God leads his dear children along. Some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, and all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. Sometimes on the mount where the sun shines so bright, God leads his dear children along. Sometimes in the valley in darkest of night, God leads his dear children along. Some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. On the last, away from the mire and away from the clay, God leads his dear children along. Away up in glory, eternity's day, God leads his dear children along. Some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long.
Amen.
Thank you. Yeah, you may be seated. Oh, thank you again, Phyllis. What a blessing to hear your salvation testimony and how the Lord has directed and guided you in 68 years. You and Milt, 68 years. Is that right? You said 68 years you and Milt had been married that long?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's amazing. And I just got to say, you know, just so many great memories through the years. One of the greatest memories to me was back in the early 90s when I worked for Intermountain Gas and I was a meter reader and I had a whole schedule of reads through the month. And they lived in New Plymouth. And every time I was going to be hitting New Plymouth, I would talk to Milt and mention which day I was going to get out there and read the meters. And he said, yep, you got to let me know. So, you know, we want to have you over for a while. So I started my day early and took an extra long break and just enjoyed sitting down with both of them. Phyllis was such a hostess, always had some goodies for me. You know, you've been out there walking so long, you know, And so what a blessing that you were to me, and of course, Milt, and just sharing the Bible together. And Phyllis knows her Bible. I'll just say that. What a blessing. So thank you for that testimony. And now we're going to switch to Brother Bruce. And Bruce and Donna have been such a blessing here. They've been coming here for a number of years. And I've just enjoyed the fellowship I've had with them. I've enjoyed the fellowship that we've had more recently. You know, we had that opportunity to go to the men's retreat. We drove up together, and I really enjoyed that. I just enjoyed talking to you, and you talked a little bit about your salvation on that trip. And then, of course, you know, recently having some lunch together. And so I appreciate that you're willing to come and talk about, you know, what the Lord did in your life and how he brought you to the Savior. So, Brother Bruce, you come. Thank you. It's going to work, yeah. You can use the lapel one if you want. No. That'll be just fine.
I'm glad you used that name a while ago, Jimbo, because
a lot of people have confided in me over the years, and I never mention names, so everybody that I mention tonight is going to be Jimbo.
Oh, okay.
And even if it's a woman.
I got that ball rolling.
Yeah, I was wondering how I was going to do that because there's a lot of personal stories in everyone's life, and I was listening to Miss Phyllis, and it reminded me as a child, you know, I went to Sunday school. They carried me before I could walk. But I'm going to read a story here that's, and maybe during my story that you can understand why this is so important to me and why I've tried to share this. In John chapter 3, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same come to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these things, these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You know, to someone that's not born again or saved, that's very confusing. And to those of us who are, it's very comforting. And the first time I came to this church, Brother Jordan was preaching, and he mentioned being born again. That's something you don't hear a lot about nowadays. And I'll get around to that in a minute. And then the second time I come, there was another preacher. I don't remember who that was. And he talked about being born again. And then the third time, Pastor Garcia, he was preaching, and he talked about being born again. And I really like that. So I've got kind of something else I'll touch on in a minute. He preached on last month that I just totally agreed with. But I worked in a factory in Tennessee for 23 years. And people ask me, I say, well, it's 23 years, 40 human years, because 70 and 80 hour weeks, I don't know what it would add up to be. Which leads up to part of my problems was it caught up with me after 20 years, and I just broke down. I was in pain for like 2 years, had surgeries and stuff, and so it done a lot to my body, and one of the things was my memory. A lot of things was hard to come back, but never in my life have I forgotten two things. And during my worst time, while I was in misery and throwing up from just pure pain, I remember two incidents, and it has to do with Jesus. And the first one, like I said, as a child, my family, not just my mom, but my family carried me to church before I could even walk. And I went to this little church in Indiana. That's where I grew up, in Indiana. And it was in the basement. And I can remember, you know, she mentioned Jesus and talked. She was a really good Sunday school teacher. But I remember one day, I guess the devil didn't block the seed that day, because she had a little, like a shelf behind her with Jesus hanging on the cross. And she said, He died on the cross so we could go to heaven. And that perplexed me. I could not get over that. How? I was, you know, in my single digits. I was a really young child. And going back to like what Miss Phyllis said, somebody plants that seed. She didn't even remember where and or when. But that stuck with me to this day. I can remember that. And, of course, I understand now, but I'm still remember the confusion, how somebody could get hung on a cross and I could spend eternity in heaven. But I thought about that. And then we moved when I was 9 years old. And after that, church was in and out and here and there. And we visited back. And I'd spend the weekend with family. go to church there. And then when I was 12 years old, I was out playing, and very little church during that time, but I hadn't forgot that how that cross back there, him dying for me, and it come over me. I was out there in the field, and it come over me just like somebody pouring cold water over you, hot water, whatever you people have had the feeling, that he died for my sins, and I want to live a life that pleases Jesus, and I want to live my life like God wants me to, and from now on, that's going to be my focus. So later on, you know, like I said, I'm in and out. Maybe the devil blinded me, deafened me to what to call that experience I had. And then later on, you know, I heard about being born again. I thought that's what happened to me, because that's a pastor. I don't even remember when, where, who said it, but a pastor was talking about that. I said, that's exactly what happened to me, and that's exactly the way I want to live my life. So then we fast forward to I'm living in Tennessee, and I get this job. I'm already attending church, and everybody pretty much knew I was a Christian. I knew a lot of people there, and this goes back to what Pastor Garcia said last month. We are to be a witness everywhere, anywhere we go. He said, even at the job. I may not be saying verbatim what he did, but he said, our first priority in there, we got hired to do a job. In my case, the job I'm doing now and the job then was to make parts. They didn't hire me to preach. They hired me to make them money. And I've always, that's not his words, but I've always believed that. And but there's opportunities. You can always drop a line or something here and there when it comes up. People used to walk up to me. I hear you're a Christian. Yes, I am. And well, what are you? I said, I'm a born-again believer. I didn't hear people saying this. I didn't hear. And, you know, they talk about going to church. My church believes this. My church believes that. So I was going to take every opportunity that when it come up, I was going to mention that, being born again. That's really a showstopper right there when you mention that. Because everybody says, oh, I go to church. Yeah, I believe in God. And so they'd say, I hear you're a Christian. I got that. And I don't know how many times. Yeah, what are you? I'm a born-again believer. Yeah, but what church do you go to? And I'd tell them, oh, you're a Baptist. Well, I go to a Baptist church. And I obviously don't have anything against Baptists, but I just think it's more important to be a born-again believer than calling yourself something else. So it was opportunities like that. And then, you know, the stuff we see now in, we had a huge TV in the break room, and a lot of this stuff come on there. You know, all the political divide nowadays, they're beyond about abortion or whatever come up, and people would approach me, and I didn't even know what they were talking about. And they would come up. There's the two things people used to say a lot. Sometimes I knew what they were talking about. Sometimes I didn't. They just come up and slam me in the face. Well, I believe in God and everything. Or the other one was, I believe in God and all that. And I'd stop them right there. I said, well, I don't just believe in God and everything. I'm a born-again believer. And then they didn't know what to say after that. They would stop. And sometimes we'd get into a discussion. But that was at work. And when you're there 70 and 80 hours a week, months and months on end, you know, that's basically your mission field. And that's your greatest opportunity. And so, like I said, I took every opportunity. I'd drop it in, the Word of God. People ask me, why are you so nice? Why are you? I said, because God wants me to be. And that would kind of throw them off. And then something else Brother Jordan preached on a couple years ago or something like that. He was talking about knocking on doors and some of the answers he got. And when I would witness to people, it was rare that you got that opportunity in there. It was extremely fast-paced. It was noisy. We had to give hand signals if we wanted you, a guy down the line to do something. You couldn't even hear. You had to give hand signals. So it was just here and there. You got to do that at break time or something. And I was working on a line with a guy. We were welding. And there's, I don't know if anybody's been in a place where there's welding. There's these curtains between you that blocks that ultraviolet ray. And we're doing the bottom part. We slam it up, and they do the top. Well, there's this younger guy up there, and somebody had gotten him and his family, he had two little girls, into church. And I was hearing him, oh, you're not supposed to do this. Oh, this is wrong. Oh, that's wrong. And so I'm going to, there was nothing about Jesus, nothing about salvation or anything I ever heard. It was all the rules. So I said, I'm going to have to find some time. And believe it or not, that's his spot. People miss and people fill in for some reason. This never happened before or since. They rotated him around to here, where he's my partner. And it just so happened it stopped. And he pulls up. Like I said, everybody knew pretty much I was a Christian. And he pulled up that curtain. He says, Jimbo pulls up the curtain, and he says, I've been wanting to ask you something. And I don't remember what it was. And he was asking me about right and wrong on something. And I answered him. And I said, Jimbo, has anybody ever mentioned being born again to you? He said, say what? I said, born again. Seems like I might have heard something like that. What is it? And I explained it to him. So, you know, and then going back to when you have opportunities and stuff to talk to people, there would be people in there. I've seen preachers get real belligerent, get angry. You know, one of the biggest things was once saved, always saved, and pre-trib rapture, and they'd get hot over it. And I would say to them, what does it matter? If you're born again, that's what counts. If you're born again, that's what matters. And it kind of put some water on the fire there. And then I got a job later on that I was training people. I could even go into a room and do stuff on the dry erase board, and it's quiet. And so you got more opportunities then. And I remember people would start in. One of the biggest things was they were just obsessed with the rich. Well, I can't get anywhere because of the rich. You know, the rich are ruining us. The rich are doing this. And I saw my opportunity. There's two things I thought. I said, you know, you can go back as far as time is, and the rich have always gotten along, got what they wanted. And, you know, in today's terms, we think if you live to be 100 or something, that's just a great thing. But if you're born again, and he had everything he wanted in his life, but you're born again, and you both die at 100, what is that compared to eternity? And heads would drop. I never once. I had that opportunity to do that several times because I taught that class for years. And not once did I get an amen. And some people even give me dirty looks. And I thought, wow, they're more concerned with that money than they were their salvation. So fast forward to we move out here in 2012, and I end up meeting a pastor, and he's holding services over at over in Post Falls. And he asked me, you know, I went over to visit, and he asked me if I would help because it was a retirement home, and there's people in their 90s and stuff, and we had to help them just like Miss Phyllis had to be helped here. We did just to get out of their chair and stuff, and he had to go to California to see his dad. He was sick or something, and he asked me to get up here. And I'm like, nah. And it's even hard for me to do it now. And that's something I'm hoping I can encourage somebody else, because you wouldn't believe how hard it is to get up here. I can talk to you one-on-one all day. But he had no one else. And there was another couple in there. So I get up there, and I start talking. I said, okay, I'll do it. You know, we have to We have to do stuff for God, and I'm so glad I did now. I mean, I fumbled my way through it, but I read that verse, and I talked a lot about like I did now. And, you know, I'm no pastor, but, you know, everybody, you know, for years, they're used to the pastor being at the back door. So I think I better go back there and shake their hands when they leave. And there was this little lady. She come back through there with her walker, and I'm shaking her hand. She walks up to me. She says, "That's me. That's me. I'm born again." She says, "That's me." And then in a little while later, there's this guy come up, his voice trembling and tears running down his face. He said, "Bruce, I don't know if I have that. Bruce, I don't remember that ever happening to me." And I said, he was on his little electric scooter. And I said, "Can you pull right over there?" And he pulled up there, and I was shaking his hands. And then my buddy over there, he's like 5 weeks older than me. I said, "Hey, Jimbo, come over here." I said, "We need to pray with this guy." And we went back there and talked to him, and he wanted to get saved. And amen. That was, you know, something that was hard for me to do, but am I glad that I did it?
Yeah.
And work has been a big part of my life, and, you know, I've worked so much, so that's where my opportunities have been a lot. I've traveled, and I've talked to people. Even when I travel for my work back there in that factory, I would go to Canada, actually get to go back home to Indiana where I am work for a while, and I'd meet people, and we had more time there, and I've talked to people that when we had breaks, we had to wait on a forklift, and we're standing around there, and he's from there, and she's from somewhere else, and I'm from somewhere else, and I've talked to a lot of people. There was a guy one time that he said he was raised in church. He says, "My mother still goes there, but he told me some things that was going on in that church." He said, I can't do it. He said, "I can't go in there," and knowing what he's doing, she's doing, and stuff like that. And I said, "Well, you know, Jimbo," I said, "we're all responsible for our own salvation, you know, our own lives. And if you go in there, if there's 100 people in that church, and you go in there and the other 99 are doing wrong, they're not going to determine where you're going to spend eternity." I said, "It's up to you to decide." And he got all excited, and he said, "I'm going to call my mother. I'm going to church this weekend." And it's just opportunities like that. And, you know, unfortunately for some people, you spend a lot more time at work than you do with your family. And I guess that was my field my mission field was work and stuff. And I saw a lot of people get argument. Just like there's a lot of people that I knew that went to church there, and they thought the only place in this earth that you could get saved was walking right up here. That was it. That was the only spot. Well, not this church. You couldn't do it in a Baptist church, if you know what I'm talking about. And I can't imagine the great I am creating a world like this, and a few square feet is the only place that you can get born again. And now Donna and I work together over here, and I get opportunities. It's a lot different, so we get to talk a lot. And so when people start talking about what they went through and some of the drugs or whatever, you know, I look for a foot in the door. I say, "Well, you know, I was spared that. I got saved when I was 12 years old." And, you know, that opens up a door there. And there's one guy that was there. He's from California. And I talked to him one time, and I brought up that being born again. We talked about church a while, and I said, I was talking to him about being born again, and he's like, "I've never heard this before. I've never heard any of this." And we talked about, he's not there now. And then there's another guy that doesn't want to have anything to do with religion or Christianity, or any religion and stuff like that. So I have to tread lightly, but he shows me respect. And he talks about a lot of stuff that's going on in the world. And I'll tell him, "Jimbo, that's biblical." I tell him, I said, "You told me you've never been in church before, right? I said, well, see, it says in the Bible this is going to happen, that's going to happen. And he walks up to me sometimes about things that's going on, and he says, what does the Bible say about that? What does God have to say about that? And I, you know, I've carried stuff out here, some of our flyers or pamphlets out here to work, and I gave him one day. I said, you and your wife sit down and read this one weekend. He said, okay. And so I just, you know, kind of made it my mission when I noticed people there where I worked back there in Tennessee, they just didn't talk much about being saved and being born again. I thought that was way more important than just saying I go to church, because anybody can go to church. It's that born again experience. And I probably left out a lot of stuff, because there's a lot of stories, and we don't know when we're going to be a witness. We don't know when we plant the seed. I've had people walk up to me and tell me they did this or did that. I said, well, good for you. Well, it's because of you. What? You remember what you said? So, oh, yeah. Well, and stuff has come back to me, and I'm tickled to death that I feel like I haven't done enough, because before that, before I went in the factory, I just barely spoke. And I still kind of wait for people to open the door a lot. And if they don't, if we're in a deep conversation, I bring it up. But I hope by me telling this tonight, there's somebody out there, because a lot of stuff, preachers I listen to on the radio or been in churches, something will click in my mind. You know, Brother Jordan said something, I may be repeating myself some here, a couple years ago about some of the answers he got when he witnessed, knocked on doors, and I couldn't believe some of the answers when I talked to people. I've even heard some people say their granny was such a saint, she's going to get the whole family into heaven. And I've talked to people that something tragedy had happened to them years ago, or maybe in their family years ago, some great tragedy that had befallen their family, that somebody done to them or something, and because of that, they get a free ticket to heaven. And you, when you're witnessing to people, you hear all kinds of things. So I just hope by what I'm saying tonight, it'll help you when you're out there. If there's people that's going to work now, or you get these opportunities, you'll remember. Well, something I said, stuff clicks in my mind all the time about what a preacher has said or something. So.
Wasn't that great? Thank you, Brother Bruce. Got saved at the age of 12. Praise the Lord for those opportunities. I'm thankful that, you know, Brother Bruce and Phyllis, you know, they've used that testimony, or just opening the Word of God. And many times it's just in casual conversations with coworkers, and through the years, a little statement here, something that happened to my life. Well, what did you do this? Well, I went to church, you know, and you talked about, you don't realize how much that makes an effect, or how much that speaks to the heart of somebody and how God uses that. But I sure appreciate that, just hearing how, you know, a number of individuals responded to your testimony, to your work ethic. I think of Phyllis and Milt. How many times I've met people that you guys led to Christ through the years. What a blessing that has been. Amen. Thank you, Brother Bruce. Brother Bruce, do you have a favorite hymn? We could sing right now. Victory in Jesus. That's a great one right there. Amen.
Well, it's 812, if you stand with me. I will sing the first and last. Savior came from glory, how he gave his life.
and he bought me with his redeeming blood. Praise God, he loved me ere I knew him, and all my love to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a throne he has built for me in glory. I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea. Song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. Speed to
Heavenly Father, Lord, as we thank you for the testimonies that we heard tonight. Father, of your saving grace, Lord, of what you've done for us, and Lord, just we thank you for that victory that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we just thank you for all your blessings, Lord. We thank you for the warmer weather and the rain, Father, and we pray, Lord, as we go home tonight, that you dismiss us with your blessings. We thank you for our visitors. We pray that you would bless their time up here visiting. But Lord, just guide and direct us that, Lord, that we might see others, not just people, but souls, Father. Amen. And Lord, that we might be eager to ask, you know, have you been born again? And to give a witness for the gospel. Father, just dismiss us again with your blessings and until we come together again on Wednesday night. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.